I know, this is July 4th, and everybody's supposed to be having a great time banging off fireworks and spending all sorts of money watching it burn up in the sky and explode, and... Well, Don and the girls, okay? And spending all this kind of money with fireworks and all that kind of stuff, and just forgetting the fact, or trying to, maybe we're trying to ignore the simple fact that we are losing freedoms faster than we can keep track of. So everybody's out there supposedly celebrating their independence, and they don't know or they don't care that they're losing it. It's always, like I've said, even on the July 4th things over the last bunch of years, you're out there watching all these explosions take place, and there's guys over in Iraq and Afghanistan having explosions fly over their heads, and it's actually trying to kill them. We're over here hearing the same thing, thinking it's ooh, ah, and all that stuff. So, you know, whatever. But I was told by somebody this morning that I'm, not uplifting when it comes to July 4th. I'm spoiling their movie and their playtime. And we'll talk about that this morning, matter of fact. Americans have to have their playtime. We all do. Now, this Corinthians thing, we're gonna start with chapter 10 today. You know, this is hard stuff, this Corinthians. We all sound okay out there, everything? Everybody's there? Okay, I think that was everybody was there, yep, okay. This Corinthians is hard stuff, you know that? Corinthians is like, we know it's written to these guys at Corinth, and I know there's a bunch of Jews in the crowd too. We'll talk about that in the next couple of Sundays, I guess, but... So it's a carnal bunch of people, just fleshy as all get-out. Divisions, arguments, messing up with doctrinal stuff, and just having a hard time. And we compare it, there's things in Corinthians we're supposed to be doing or not doing, there's no doubt. And yet the people, if they do anything, they jump over to Timothy and Titus, and Timothy and Titus has some stuff, but that stuff isn't hard. It's just stuff that we choose not to do or choose to do. You know, really? I know people would say it is hard to dress modestly, and it is hard to be quiet, and it is hard to be the wife and the man and all that kind of stuff. Nah, we're just lazy and we don't want to deal with it. If we do, we get positive points on our judgment seat, and if we don't, then whatever, you know, whatever. But Corinthians has really got some tough stuff in here. And the only way that we're going to understand Corinthians is you have to be a very sincere Christian. Like I say, you can kind of flop around in Timothy and Titus and Romans and Thessalonians, all this kind of stuff, but Corinthians is really telling us carnal people, us earthy, worldly, lazy, fleshy, religious-y type people, some real serious things. And yet it's also got some things in there because Paul was talking to Jews. The Jews were in this crowd as well. We see in chapter 10, verse 1, the first thing he says was, he talks about our fathers were under the cloud. That's the Jewish crowd. So Paul, with the Jewishness in him, he's still talking about Jew things. So they're still in there, which, by the way, explains why speaking in tongues is what Paul talks about. But anyway, so if the stuff we're going to talk about today, if you're going to try to do these things to please God, you're going to have to be really serious. Otherwise, you're going to get bored to death in Corinthians, and nobody goes there. Like I say, people go to Timothy and Titus because you can play the game, fake it. This is how you can look like a Christian. But in Corinthians, if you try to follow what he teaches in Corinthians, then you're a serious, sincere Christian, and you're not going to let family or friends or church members or neighbors or workers or whatever cause you to kick back and just relax. So, and we'll see this in chapter 10 especially. Chapter 10 is dealing with idolatry, as it was in chapter 9 as well. And if you didn't get a chance to listen to last Sunday's message, I hope you can get into it, because this whole series kind of ties together, and it really puts us all on the spot for what is important as a Christian. Also knowing that the King James Bible is what helps us differentiate between some of the teachings in here that are no longer telling us to do these things, thus the Lord's Supper and that kind of a thing. So we got some heavy chapters coming up here, 10 and 11. 11 with the long hair stuff and the Lord's Supper stuff. And 12, we've got the gifts. And 13, and 14, we got speaking in tongues. We got charity stuff. We're a mess because we're carnal. We're fleshy. So let's start chapter 10, and we'll see if we can get into 11. I'm just going to read it, and there's some comments to make as we get into this thing. And there are still some things in Corinthians I don't quite understand yet. I hope that doesn't bother anybody. I don't have this thing done, not by any shot. So here we go. We still got Mark and Scotty, Uncles and Sam and Patience and Bob and Bill and Floyd's. Okay, the tough crowd. Here we go. Moreover, brethren, moreover meaning it's a carryover again from chapter 9. He's talking about running the race like he wants to win. He wants to run. He knows he's going to win, but he runs and keeps his body under subjection. Right there is a killer for Christians. We control what our body does. We keep it under, bring it under subjection, because it takes away our testimony if we don't. And we did talk about testimony last week, that when we think that we want to not cause somebody to stumble, when we go back and dress back and talk back and participate in the community because we don't want to cause them to stumble because they think that we're arrogant Christians, no, according to Paul, we actually cause them to stumble when they see us back and they see us change clothes and they see us going backwards. We're actually causing the weak brother to stumble. So what people do is they want to go back into the world so people aren't so upset. They don't want to cause them to stumble. They got it totally backwards. They actually cause them to stumble when they go back in their, back to their old conversation, as Paul puts it. So, here we go, chapter 10. So that moreover kind of ties all these things together. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat. Now, this thing goes down the list here of this trek through the wilderness that the Jews went through. And this is the stuff that is not taught to our children anymore. They just want to teach our children about Jesus and all the love that he has for us. And if you just ask Jesus into your heart, then when you die, if ever you do, because sometimes you won't, you'll probably be raptured. You won't have to worry about going to hell. You can go to heaven to sit with him and be with him under the tree. And your little kitty will be there, and your dog will be there, and all this kind of stuff. We don't teach our kids anymore the Old Testament. And the Old Testament is where people learn about God. This is where our kids, they need to learn about God. Then they learn about sin. Then they learn about what Jesus Christ came down to do. Then they realize, they learn what he did when he rose, went to Paul. You know, that kind of a thing. And we got all these kids who are thinking they're saved, Christians, singing all these funny little pirate, patch the pirate fleshy songs, and just doing stupid little games in Sunday school, and you know, all the kind of stuff that I used to do as a Lutheran. And I've been taught this stuff in Sunday school. Keep in mind, I'm not big on Sunday school. That's what you're supposed to be doing at home. Sunday school could fill in the gaps. But anyway, now as we look through this thing, they did all drink the same spiritual drink, verse 4, for they drank of that spiritual rock, capital R, that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Okay, but with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now, we see a very important word here. In verse 6, we see examples, and in verse 11, we see ensamples. Now, ensample is considered archaic. No, it's not. It's the word God wants to have in there. Examples, what these people do, these things are examples for us to learn from. And in verse 11, it talks about ensamples. These people were there to provide examples, which makes them an ensample. You get that? I mean, there has to be a difference. Why would he use example and ensample? Example are the things that we're going to look to, and those people were there to be an ensample. So let's look at them here. Verse 6, now these things were our examples to the intent we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. So see, we can still learn from these guys in the Old Testament, in the wilderness journey, as we call it here. Verse 7, neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them, as it is written. Now this idolater thing, by the way, look at verse 23. This whole thing is leading up to 23. We did one last week, not to cause anybody to stumble. Now this one of the strings of liberty, is all things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. So these things that he's talking about here, we shouldn't be doing, but if we do, there's no law against it. But they're not expedient. That's what we have to get out of Paul's teachings. He says, neither be idolaters. Well, you know, you can be an idolater because there's no law now. All things are lawful. but it is an expedient to be an idolater. Now, first thing is idolatry. We tend to picture idolatry as the Catholic Church. They've got their idols, and they've got their statues, and people have their pictures, and we have television, and it becomes our idol. You know, the definition, idolatry is the worship of idols, images, or anything made by hands, or which is not God. Worship of images, statues, pictures, heavenly bodies, etc., etc. But it also says, for a definition, excessive attachment for anything. So if we are just caught with something, that's idolatry. It isn't just some stupid little Mary in a bathtub type of statue in your backyard feeding the birds and putting flowers in there, plastic flowers, of course. So when he says neither be idolaters, we can be if we want to, but it's not expedient to do so. Now, he says, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Now, this is the only time Paul mentions the word play. And I kept looking at that, and I kept thinking, you know what we do? Now, here we go. This is why I say Corinthians is really tough stuff. You know, again, Timothy and Titus tell us how to be women and how to be men and soft, quiet, and dress modestly and not work, and the men have to run, all that kind of stuff. You know, we know that. Here's probably one of the toughest things for anybody out there to listen to, and maybe it becomes easier as you get older, because you don't have the energy or the money or the effort or the muscles or the health. But playtime can be idolatry. Here we have in America all these people thinking that everything's hunky-dory. I know a lot of people don't, I'm sure of that. The Tea Party is working up big, and Republicans think the Democrats are bad, and Democrats think the Republicans are bad, and Christianity is just going crazy, but people just, they still want to play. They just, like today, all the freedoms that we've lost, look at them, look at the list, look what's up there. They're shutting down the press. The government wants to have its own press corps. The taxes are going to go bonkers here in a couple of months, and they have this oil spill, and they won't even let the states try to fix it. I mean, we have lost our freedoms already. It's intense. It's insanity. But everybody just wants to play. It's just playtime. You come home from work, we have to play. It's computers, it's games, it's TV, it's ball games, it's play this and play that. And the kids are growing up under this concept of, if it's not fun, it's not something I want to do. And fun and play go hand in hand. When I did that sermon, for those of you that know about it, a year or so ago, about Christians, when they go out and play, they act stupid, they're immature, behave like they're children. They flirt with each other. They touch each other. Men are touching women, and women are touching men. They get out and play basketball together. They bounce their bodies off of each other, and they bounce all over the place. And the clothes they wear isn't right. And it just goes on and on. And everybody has to. They get loud. The women are yakking with the men, and the men are flirting with the ladies and looking around and eat like gluttonous hogs. And I mean, we're just. But it's party time. It's play time. And I guess I don't need to go on about that thing. But we notice in chapter 10, verse 7 of 1 Corinthians that it's tied in with idolatry. Now, you don't want to worship a statue. You haven't got what we call in Ohio Mary in a bathtub in your backyard, statues. We don't have, some of the Baptist churches happen to have statues of their pastors up in their hallways and lobbies, but pastors can become idols. And statues can become idols. TV can become idols. But I just want you to realize that when Paul says here, neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them, wilderness crowd, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. And that's in Exodus, by the way. So, number 8. I mean, you can play time and ignore all the stuff that's going on. You want to have fun? I got to have some fun. We need to have break time. I understand all that. But Paul addresses play with idolatry. Let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Well, I was going to write down the conflict. There's another conflict where another number is given. I think they say it's 24,000, some other reference in the Bible about this particular event. And how it can be a conflict? No, it's not a conflict, because this one talks about one day and the other one talks about in total. So anybody comes up with a conflict with numbers, there's a reason for it. Anyway. So the fornication thing can be there. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Now how many know the details of the story about the serpents? How many know the details of the day those 23,000 people were killed? How many know about the place where they sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play? What was going on during that time that made God so mad at them? Verse 10, neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Do your kids know that God actually killed these people for murmuring and for fornicating and for idolatry? Neighbor truck. These things have to be taught to the kids. But that isn't how God operates. So why teach them about it? Because that's still how God believes. It says that his son, his only begotten son, paid those prices. I mean, these things have to be paid for. So they are paid for. This is what's supposed to be taught in Sunday school. We're going to teach them anything. Let's say stupid songs by Patch the Pirate and these vegetables that talk and sing and all this little fun stuff. See, play. We're teaching idolatry in our churches and our homes because everybody has to play. Paul says, what's the word? Sober. You need to be sober-minded, adults, because there's some serious things going on that are destroying our children. We're being deceived and duped and lied to, and the schools are ruining them, and let's just go play. Okay. Now he says in verse 11, now all these things happened unto them for ensamples. So these people did these things. Those things they did are examples, and the fact that they were doing that for our ensample makes them an ensample. And they are written for our admonition. We need to be taught these things and realize that, okay, all things are lawful, but they still aren't the things we should be doing. This is why Corinthians is tough stuff. I mean, look at, we just realized this morning, and we already didn't, that play can be idolatry. If you've got more important things, and if you've got spiritual things, and you've got a life that's falling apart, or a marriage that's falling apart, which I know of, they're falling apart everywhere from some things, and everybody wants to play. Husband and wife having a rough day, and they're having fights and stuff. What do? Come on, honey, let's go to a movie. Well, yeah, that'll fix everything. That's play. We have to play. We get extra money, and what do? We buy something that helps us have more fun. We play something. Crazy. Then he says, right at the end of this thing, finishes up, they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. So in Paul's time, they still figured the Lord was coming back. This is Corinthians. This is early time. Jews are still around here in this whole thing. Then he says, to top it all off, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Now, it's a good place to put that because here you got people that'll look at these examples. Idolatry, I'm not doing that. I got my play under control. I'm not fornicating. I'm not tempting Christ. Whatever that means. You know what that means? That means you should read the story about the serpent to see what it is that is tempting the Lord. And then murmuring, I don't murmur, and blah, 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 blah. So I'm doing okay. That's why he throws in verse 12, wherefore let them that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. You got to be careful. Fornication isn't just all sexual. It can be with other gods. It can be other things in your life. It doesn't have to just be that at all. Idolatry is not just statues. It's playtime. Tempting Christ isn't just, it's telling him that this isn't right. These aren't the right words. I don't have to do this, da-da-da-da. And then murmuring. We got plenty to murmur about. Let's just be up front and talk about it. Nothing to murmur about. If you got a problem with somebody, tell them. We murmur. And it destroyed them. Well, it can destroy us, too. Okay. Enough of that whine. Verse 13. Then he throws in here, there has no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. You're not special. We all got the same junk. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will, with the temptation, also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Now, this is one of those places where it's important to realize the King James Bible. Because have you not had temptation? Well, some of you probably have. How many of you, fewer even percentage of that, did you give in to that temptation? God didn't stop you. I know this is how I used to do it back in Touche. I would drive by this candy store, Bright's Candy Store, and jokingly, of course, I would say, well, if there's a parking spot open in front of the candy store, then I'll stop there because God would allow that. One of those kind of excuses, you know. And then sometimes the parking lots are full. Ah, I can't stop at Bright's because I'm too lazy to walk a block. That was the way I would decide if I should go to Bright's or not. Well, what if I blame God for that parking space that's open, and he says that I will not give you a temptation above that ye are able, and you put me within a radius of 100 yards or something for chocolate, I'm tempted by that kind of stuff. But see, he didn't make me a way to escape. If he makes me a way to escape, then he would make sure there's no parking spots there. No, his way to escape is to teach me in my Bible that I shouldn't do that. You're going to be tempted by this. You're going to be tempted by that. How does God provide a way to escape? He tells us in the book. First thing he tells us in the book through Paul is to listen. If that's a temptation, don't go there. That's simple. So what did he do? He provided a way to escape. Read in your Bible not to go there, not to be around it. If your temptation is with certain people or whatever, or whatever, just avoid it. Have no company with it. Withdraw from it. He's already made a way to escape, and he told us in that King James Bible. So there's people that still wait for Christ and God to step in and say, well, see, if he's going to provide this temptation, he's going to find a way out for me. Yeah, he told you how to get out of that situation. I'll get up and do it. That's that magic Jesus people expect. So when God, when that parking spot's open, then I guess God wants me to go there. That's just really stupid thinking. But that's how people think today with this magic Jesus, magic God stuff. So we know what he's talking about there. He says in verse 14, wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. That's what he tells us. He just gets done telling us about this idolatry stuff, and he tells us it'll destroy us. And playtime is one of them, and he says, okay, now flee from idolatry. Get away from that thing. If the temptation is to constantly always play, then get away from the playtime. Get away from the people that are playing around all the time. That can be a sermon all by itself, right? And we're going to Corinthians, not picking on a subject. Now, he says in verse 15, this is another good one. I speak as to wise men. Judge ye what I say. Oh, sure. Now put the guilt trip on us. Tells us all the stuff he tells us in fornication and idolatry and tempting Christ and murmuring and all these kind of things because we're such carnal people today. And he says, you know what? You need to flee from that stuff. And then he says, by the way, I really believe I'm speaking to wise people. Judge what I say. That's what we need to do. What do? We need to judge what Paul says. We need to look at what he says. Is that really what that means in verse 7 about play? You think so? Well, it sure was what it looks like, doesn't it? And the murmuring thing and all that. Yeah, boy, that's pretty tough stuff. I really should try to grow up and deal with that kind of stuff. That's right. Paul is all about growing up, isn't he? We've been over that stuff. So I speak as to wise men. So if you want to be a wise man or a wise woman, then we need to listen to what Paul says. And we need to judge what he says. And he's right. I'm not against sports. I'm not against play. I'm not against food. I'm not against TV necessarily. There's reasons why they're not good for us, and if we overdo it, it'll destroy us. We can waste time. We can get fat. We can have so much fun that we don't want to do anything serious anymore. Playtime can be idolatry. Food can be our idol. TV's bit. It's funny. Everybody's figuring out this TV issue, that it's a waste of time and it's bad, it's violence, all this kind of stuff. Oh, they need to look at their kids' computer. What are they playing for games? You can't even find that kind of violence on TV. I guess you shouldn't go to the movie house and find them, but in a game on a video, you can control the violence yourself. It's become idolatry. And playtime. Be quiet. Get off the playtime thing. Everybody just wants to play anymore. As a teacher, I'm encouraged to have the class, make sure the class is fun for the kids. How about if I just teach the kids the stuff and we enjoy learning these things, but I'm not going to make it fun. I'm too old to have fun. How's that? Does that make sense? That's just a dump's what young people say to us, I guess. Ah, you're just too old. You can't play if you wanted to. Now we get into another tough section here. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? Boy, what is that? That's communion. That's what everybody says we have for communion for today. And we'll get into that in the second half of chapter 11, but because it talks about that in verse 16, and he talks about what he talks about in verse 23 and down in chapter 11, shouldn't we be doing communion? Come on, if we look at the rest of Paul's doctrines and his teachings, we know, like he says in verse 17, for we being many are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. Now, is he talking about specific bread pieces? Is he talking about the little cups of wine and shot glasses and this kind of a thing? What is he talking about? He's talking about during his time, again, no Bible, which is what 1 Corinthians chapter 11 will show us for the Lord's Supper stuff. He's not even telling us. He's describing something that took place in the gospel days at the Last Supper, as such as we call it today. So, and he's talking here again spiritually, because look at, he says, for we being many are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. Did everybody have a chunk off that one bread they have there? Verse 18, behold, Israel after the flesh, are not they which eat of the sacrifices partakers of the altar? Now, he tabs a little frosting on that thing when he says here, what say I then? That the idol is anything, or that which is offered in sacrifice to idols is anything? No, we know it's not. Then he puts a big hammer on the Gentiles here. But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. Now, he's talking here about communion. He's talking here about partaking of the bread. He's talking about being one of the body of Christ. And he says in verse 20, the Gentiles. When he mentions Gentiles, who's he talking to now? Well, we know he's talking to Jews because they're in the crowd. Acts chapter 8, verse 18 tells us that he's in Corinth. There's a bunch of Jews there from Jerusalem, etc., etc. And we also realize he says of the Gentiles, see, the Gentiles are the lost people. Because you've got, and we'll see, and look at verse 32, give none offense neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God. So he's not talking about the saved Gentile in verse 20. He's talking about Gentiles. Those are the lost people that have nothing to do with Paul and the risen Savior, and it's still not the Jews. He's mentioning the Jews that are there. You know that when the Gentiles sacrifice, they're sacrificing to devils and not to God. And I would not that ye should have fellowship with devils. Ye cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. Ye cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils. Do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than he? So, let's tie this in with what we want to do. We want to play. Okay, what's wrong with playing? Well, when it becomes the number one thing in your life and it's adultery, now you're partaking in two different tables now. You're partaking of God's way, you're modest, you're good about it, but you're partaking of the devil's way because that's their religion. That's their way of doing things. TV, videos, games, all the stuff that boating, you know, vacations all the time, I mean, dressing in my, I mean, all the stuff that the world does, that's their table. That's the devil's table. That's sacrifice to devils and not to God. Now see, this is what I said this morning. Are we capable of taking Corinthians as serious as we should? We all like Titus. We all like Timothy, because we're all trying to live our lives, that manner of life by Paul. Good stuff. Yeah, that's good stuff up there. And it's all doable. It's all doable. But this stuff right here, when he's talking about you carnal Christian, you're doing stuff that's partaking of the table of devils. The cup of devils, he says. You can't do that. He says in verse 23, all things are lawful, but all things are not expedient. Go ahead. You can do those things. But he's saying it's not expedient, and it's not the right thing. It's going to cause people to stumble, etc., etc. And what it is you're doing is actually what the lost people do in this world, and you can't have both. We try to have both, don't we? We try to have the cup of the devil, but we try to have the cup of this world, the play, the standards, the modesty, the loudness, the parties, the way they do things, where they go, the activities they do, the fun kind of things they want to do, the playtime things. And what better day to talk about this than on July 4th when everybody's going to go play? Not only is Christianity a disaster, not only are there hardly any King James Bibles anywhere anymore, not only are there hardly anybody that that even cares about Paul and the teachings of a rightly divided Bible, now that even that's taking place, they don't realize that their country is losing freedoms. They don't realize that they're even keeping, like I said, they're keeping the press out of activities from the government. Government wants to have their own press. The government's taking over money. They're just printing money like crazy. We're going into a trillion, bagillion in debt. And they won't let us deal with it. But we're just losing freedoms. And we're just going to go out there and play. They want to sacrifice the devils. They want to partake of the cup of devils instead of partakers of the Lord's table. And what it does, are you provoking the Lord to jealousy? Sure we are. But again, Jesus Christ paid the penalty for what we're doing. So, all things are lawful. But it's not expedient. So see, so far we've seen two of the strings to our liberty in Christ. And if you read the verses before that verse, you can sure see what he's talking about. He's not just talking about the little things that we do that we don't have to worry about the laws anymore. About the stuff he talks about in Timothy and Titus, he says right here that we're not to partake of the cup of devils. It's not expedient to do that. What are we doing for time here? Okay, verse 24, I guess we're just going to get 10 done today. See, this is hard stuff. Are you serious? Are you a sincere Christian? Are we? Am I? Sure does show us the value of grace, doesn't it? Can you see why he says, listen, all I've done for you, can't you at least a reasonable service is to offer yourself a living sacrifice? Is it really hard to cover up like that? Is it really hard to stay covered up? Is it really hard to stay shamefaced? I mean, okay, so you back off a little bit, we no longer believe in shamefacedness. Is it okay to be loud? Well, and celebration. This is party time. This is play time. We can be loud then, can't we? No, really, shouldn't be. Can we just listen to any kind of music we want? Well, I guess you can, but you know it shouldn't. It causes other people to stumble and it drags you down. How about evil communication? I'm realizing more and more evil communication isn't just television videos and stuff. It's how we communicate. But there's all sorts of things that we want to deal with. Are you serious as a Christian? Are you sincere? Are we sincere? Then we get our chunk out of Corinthians. But you have to know how to decide what's to us and what isn't. Because it's not all to us in Corinthians. It's to Gentiles, but those are not all the ordinances we need to do, as he says in verse chapter 11. So we'll get to chapter 11, I guess, tonight, for those of you that aren't... Well, I suppose most of you are going to be off doing fireworks display somewhere, that kind of stuff. And I guess you can, like I say, we make it easy here for you, don't we? We put this on the internet so you can listen to it later. Do you listen to it later? I hope you do. Then he gets up into verse 24, another little section here, if you're ready for this, we've got a few minutes yet. Let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth. Now, that is not a wild verse. All right, we should be seeking somebody else's wealth? Well, that ties in with another verse we'll do later on as far as seeking others, to be with others and to help them, da-da-da-da, so they can have growth, they can grow up as Christians, and they can take care of themselves, that kind of a thing. So yeah, that's what he's talking about. We know that. Whatsoever sold in the shambles, that's the meat house, that eat, asking no question for conscience sake. Now here we go. This is a little ensample, an example here about how should we partake in this thing or should we not? Somebody invites you over, should you go or should you not? That kind of thing. This is amazing. This is coming at this time. Whatever is sold in the shambles, the meat house, the grocery store, you know, that eat, asking no question for conscience sake. It's okay. Eat it. Go for it. Although now we have all the food. I got Marilyn Kent on. I need to make sure I put in a plug. All of our food has got poisons in it. It's got MSG. It's got sodium. It's got, what's the brain killer of pop? What's that called? Sugar fructose syrup or something like that. There's so many things that are killing us with our foods that what are we going to do, you know? But as far as from a spiritual vein, like it talks about here, we'll show you. For the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. This happens to be that our food is not from the earth heart anymore. It's all this synthetic, chemicalated kind of stuff here. Anyway, if any of them that believe not bid you to a feast, and you be disposed to go, whatsoever set before you, eat, asking no question for conscience sake. It's just food. Whatever. Who cares? It's food. It's deviled eggs. It's hard-boiled eggs. It's peas and cream and potatoes. It's a chicken meal. It's a chicken hot dish. It's all this good stuff, you know. And this is a person that doesn't believe, and you think he should go, then go. Enjoy the food. He says, but if any man saying to you, this is offered in sacrifice unto idols, eat not for his sake that showed it, and for conscience sake, for the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. So if that food that's being offered is being offered in an idolic, is that a word? Idol, idolic fashion, is being offered to the gods of playtime, if it's being offered in a way that's not pleasing to God, etc., etc., then he says, don't eat it. Don't go. You know what this does? This puts me back where it says, to them that believe not. How comes the big issue? Believe not, believe what not? Just believe that God is God and Jesus is our Savior and I've asked Jesus into my heart. You know what? That guy doesn't believe. That's not a believer. Paul following. Paul says if the person doesn't deal with his doctrine and his walk, we have grace and mercy, etc., etc. He also says not to have company with them if they cause a trouble with them. So that's still the bottom line. Are we really saved out there? Kind of a deal. High fructose corn syrup. There you go. We'll wrap this up here in a minute. This is offered in sacrifice unto idols. Eat not for his sake that showed it. Don't do it for that person. That's one of the things we do. We go to some of this kind of stuff, and these things that are put in front of us, we don't want to offend that person. So we eat it when we know we shouldn't. And yet it says right here, eat not for his sake. Don't partake of something you shouldn't eat just because of that person. Conscience, I say in verse 29, conscience, I say, not thine own, but of the other. For why is my liberty, which we have, why is my liberty judged of another man's conscience? This other guy is going to cause your liberty to be tweaked. For if I by grace be a partaker, why am I evil spoken of for that for which I give thanks? So you go along to this thing and you go to this place you shouldn't be going because food's going to be done in an improper manner. And you go to this thing and you partake because you have the liberty to do so. But it affects that guy's conscience because he says, see, I knew you would eat that. I knew you would drink that. I knew you would come. And you're spoken evil of for that by that guy. This is, you know what this is? These are things in chapter 9 and chapter 10 that I've even come to realize are so contrary to what we've been taught in our Baptist upbringing or church upbringing as far as, well, let's go, let's have grace, let's go participate with these people, let's not let them get mad at us because we don't want to be a good testimony, you know. You know what? A good testimony says we don't go to those places. A good testimony tells us that we don't partake in those things, even though all things are lawful. It can cause somebody to stumble. Who does it cause to stumble? Who are we to be concerned about in chapter 9 about who do we cause to stumble? Not the lost person. The saved person who is weak and sees us participating in these things, those are the people that we're not supposed to be. Now, who are some of those people? I'll tell you who some of those people are. Our kids. Our nieces, our nephews, our grandchildren. If they see us participating, if they see us eating, partaking with somebody who doesn't believe and offers that food in an improper fashion that doesn't please God, etc., etc., and this plate, all that kind of stuff, if they see us doing that, they're the ones that are going to stumble. Not the lost people. The community could care less about you. Your relatives could care less about you. It's those people who are weak that want to do the right thing, and they see you going back towards the world, that's the one you're hurting. That's the one that we hurt. And we went, you know, we got this mentality, I'm just winging it now, we got this mentality in our churches today that it's Acts chapter 2 again. We want to be, how does that say that in Acts chapter 2 verse 47, having favor with all the people. We are so determined to get people to come to our church, to listen to this website, to listen to what you have to believe, that you will do anything, that you will do things that does not please God. You will do things that go against Paul's teaching to try to win that person. And Paul tells us not to do that. He tells us not to worry about that lost person. The person we're supposed to be worried about is the weak brother Somebody who is saved but doesn't understand all this stuff, doesn't understand they shouldn't do this, doesn't understand that dressing the way they are is not right. They don't understand that the music they listen to is wrong. Doesn't please God. It's damaging, whatever. And when they see us back off a little bit, just even a little bit, they will say, see, I knew your standards are going down. I knew you were going backwards. You'll come back to us eventually. You know what that is? That is causing the weak ones to stumble. And we're more concerned about the lost people than we are hurting the brethren. That'd be just like a parent more concerned about the neighborhood kids than their own kids. A lot of people are that way. Corinthians is tough stuff. I'm not preaching in a tough manner. If I had everybody sitting out there and standing, sitting out there, and I was in a church with a pulpit, this would be one of those messages people would say, boy, you sure whacked on me today. Yeah, well, what are you going to do about it when you walk out that door? Oh, nothing. Well, I know. You got to do what you got to do. You got to have your playtime. You got to go here. You got to put your time in. You have to do what we have to do. You know, after all, we're Christians. We don't want to offend anybody. Okay. Are we still out there? Let's see. Tushy Grandma, White Cotton. White Cotton's okay. Anybody still out there? Hello. Okay, here we go. This is tough stuff. I mean, are we sincere? Yeah, we are. We mean well, but, you know, sometimes we have no control over these things. Yeah, but we need to struggle for that control. Because here goes another truck. Near as I can tell, from what I've read, we're about to lose all of our money, the little money we have left with taxes here in a couple months. We're about to not be able to do anything. Boy, these trucks are noisy around here. We're about to not be able to do anything. We're going to have permission to go from state to state. We're going to probably lose the internet because he's going to control the internet. Do we not see what's going on here? Oh, it amazes me. Let's just buckle down and see if we can't do something that pleases God and help you young folks that are out there learn a life that just isn't what it was in the past. If we could just realize our life in the past really wasn't as good as we thought. It was just a pretend, you know, the Leave It to Beaver, Father Knows Best, Ozzie and Harriet stuff. Ozzie and Harriet takes Marilyn back more than it takes me back. Let's finish up the chapter here. Whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. That's how we finish this whole chapter of all these things up here. But listen, whatever you do, let's just do it to give God the glory. And when we stumble and get back on being right, you know what? That gives God glory. Not because you stumbled, because he still saved you. He still kept you saved. He kept fellowship with you and the whole deal. So, yeah. If you're going to go do something, I want you to ask yourself, is God going to get glory over this thing? Let's not go for that hidden glory that he saved me and I'm okay. I have all things are lawful. Don't give him that kind of glory. Is God going to get glory from somebody else watching you do that? Watching you act that way at a like you got July 4th coming up now? How are you going to behave with this thing? You be like everybody else? Are you going to weaken up and be like them? Or are you going to stand strong even in your behavior and how you dress? It's going to be 976 degrees today in South Dakota. I'm not going to take my clothes off and just cover the intense parts because I'm hot. I know that gets us kind of crude, but that's what people are doing. Oh. Then he finishes off here. Give none offense neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the Church of God. You've got Jews and Gentiles in the Old Testament. And in the New Testament, you've got Jews, Gentiles, and the Church of God. Even as I please all men in all things, Paul said, not seeking mine own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. That's still Paul's bottom line. And that should be our... I think we've just totally forgotten about this. We want people to see that America's falling apart. We want people to see the health issues of their food. We want people to... No, we want to see people need to be saved. And we got people out there that we believe, by looking at Paul, I know some of you out there believe this, that they're lost, even though they think they're saved. How do we deal with this stuff? I think we're all just kind of running out of gas, and we're just kind of steaming down. And it's still a fight for me. I just don't have a bunch of church people around, and I miss all that kind of a thing. I'll be starting school pretty soon, and, you know, these are going to be tough days ahead of us. We can't let the play, this world, a couple of devils, invite us in. We need to stay with the Lord's table. which involves mercy and grace and long-suffering and patience, but it also involves rebuke and reproof, and it also involves changing our lives. Not changing to go back, because it would cause the weak, our nieces and nephews and grandkids and all that stuff, it would cause them to stumble. Let's stand strong and give them an example and an ensample of what it is to be the Christian, because they're sure not going to hear about it from anybody else. Anyway, there you go. Other than the delay of the time stuff, there's chapter 10. I guess we'll do chapter 11 tonight if anybody's there, but it'll be available. It's nice to see the names Gunkles and Sam and Patience and Bob and Bill and Floyd's and Grandma Kench, and I know the struggle back there, and White Cotton's good to see you up there down there from Texas. I hope you got the job and you're having a good time. You're not living in some little squats. What would you call them? Squatters. Little squatter's cabin somewhere. Hope you're doing all right. And you guys have a good day today. Be careful that play doesn't become idolatry to you. And don't become a stick in the mud either, but just let them know that you can enjoy life the way God is pleased. So all he wants us to do is to be a living sacrifice. It's a reasonable thing to do. So keep quiet, stay covered, and behave. And remember those fireworks that are going off? This country is dying. It's already dead, actually. We're just starting to recognize the smell, which is really sad. I'm not an anti-American at all. I'm just anti-America with a K instead of a C.